Welcome to Western New York Catholic Weekly, a production of the Office of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo. Stay tuned as Greg Prince brings the Catholic newsmakers to you. Wherever it's happening in the diocese, you'll hear about it on Western New York Catholic Weekly.
Everybody knows that our Bishop, Bishop Richard Malone, is a very busy man around the Diocese of Buffalo and elsewhere. He's on several committees with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and of course, we have a papal visit coming up, and we're going to kind of talk about all that stuff today on Western New York Catholic Weekly as Bishop Malone joins us. Bishop, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for the invitation.
I'm glad we could sneak some time in there between all of this.
I know. You know, the Second Vatican Council, in its document about the role of bishops, makes it clear that a diocesan bishop always has two worlds of responsibility. One is his own diocese, and the other, believe it or not, is the whole world church. And so all of us are supposed to be involved both in the diocese and in other projects. So it's always a task to keep a balance there.
Well, you are certainly covering both of those bases presently, at least in the past couple months or so. We're going to talk about the upcoming papal visit, but I don't know that we've really had a chance to speak with you about your here in our Office of Communications anyway, about your recent Catholic Relief Services trip to Nepal and Bangladesh. So first of all, why don't you refresh people's memory about your role with Catholic Relief Services?
Happy to do it. It's always easy to talk about CRS. CRS is the – Catholic Relief Services is the official humanitarian aid and development agency of the U.S. Catholic bishops. And currently we're in 100, 101 countries around the world. We deal both with response to emergencies like the Haiti earthquake, and we'll talk about Nepal. But also we're present in these countries, in some places for decades, really just trying to help the people to learn to make a better future for themselves, to give them the assistance they need to move forward. So I'm finishing my second 3-year term on the board, and part of a board member's responsibility periodically is to be sent over to one of the countries where CRS serves. And so over my 6 years, I've been to Haiti, to El Salvador, to Congo, a couple of other places, and recently Nepal and Bangladesh. And when they send us overseas for 5 or 6 days, it really has three purposes. First of all, to show board members, because we make the decisions for CRS, to show board members at least a little slice of what life is like for people in those parts of the world. And it's only a slice that you see, but you see it. You see the suffering or the pain or the sometimes the hope. Secondly, it's an opportunity for us to review the work that CRS is doing in different countries. And it is absolutely splendid work that every American Catholic can be proud of, believe me. And thirdly, very importantly, it gives us a chance to thank the good folks of CRS, wherever they are, for this tremendous work. We train locals, the natives in the country, to do most of the work, but ordinarily the key leadership in each country where we are is an American or several Americans who've actually packed up, sometimes moved with their families and children to other parts of the world. They enroll their kids in an English-speaking school, and they take on this tremendous commitment for years to do this work. Recently, you asked me, though, about my recent trip in August to Bangladesh and Nepal. Of course, I won't get into the technicalities, but our mission was really twofold, really, and also to show support. That's a part of it, too, to the local churches. Mm-hmm. First of all, without getting technical, we had to work in both countries with the local bishops to encourage them to let CRS register with the government of Bangladesh and Nepal as an NGO. That means a non-governmental organization. Because unless we register, there are a lot of things we cannot accomplish as an American agency. For example, we can't have a bank account. We can't easily get to pay our staff. We can't get loans and grants. So in both cases, we were able to work with the local bishops who supported our effort to be registered with the government. So that was the technical task, and we accomplished it. But in many ways, just as important is we went out into the field. First, in Bangladesh, we went out to see some of the projects. We have a number of things going on over there. One thing we're doing is called building capacity for people to deal with emergencies. And how CRS operates in every country is we partner with the local diocese. We don't want to come in there like big American brother with all the answers and all the money and say, this is how you're going to do it. We partner and let the local diocese or the local agencies take the lead. And we try to work with them and supplement them and bring them whatever we can. So we checked a lot of things out in Bangladesh, and it was a remarkable experience to see the tremendous poverty that people live with every day. But wonderful, wonderful people. Bangladesh is primarily a Muslim country, and the Christian population is very, very small. I think it was the first time for me ever of being in a country where I felt part of such a tiny minority. And that's a good experience to have. You're very aware of it. It makes you think about how other minorities feel.
In that case, then, are you working and networking with Muslim organizations and whatnot to accomplish some of the goals that you're doing?
Well, the way our key partner is usually the local church, Catholic Church, the Bishops' Conference, the local bishops. We always connect with the nuncio, the papal ambassador. We did in both Bangladesh, and Nepal doesn't have one currently anyway. But most of the workers who do the actual on-the-ground work in any country where we are the locals. And very often they're mostly Muslims.
Right, in that case, sure.
In that case. And they work with us and they're paid by CRS. And it's a wonderful thing to work with the natives, the locals, and to offer them some of the skills with which they can work to make their own community, their own nation stronger.
Yeah, which is the whole point, right?
Exactly.
And I wanted to go back to as you were describing your work with CRS and what the board members do to kind of reaffirm and assure people. When you go over as a board, as board members on these trips, they're not sugarcoating things for you, right? When you get over, you're not getting just the bright side of what's
absolutely
going on.
Absolutely
right?
Not. Yeah. Absolutely not. First of all, they give us always a briefing packet that has all the information you need over there, including the usual advice to keep healthy. What? Don't drink
yeah.
tap water. Put nets over you when you sleep for the mosquitoes with malaria, not to get out, everything like that. I think I've been vaccinated since I've been with CRS for just about every exotic disease you could ever have. So everything except Japanese encephalitis. I didn't need that one. But you have to be very careful.
Maybe next year.
Well, my term's over in December.
Okay. All right.
It's been an amazing situation. No, but it's a remarkable thing. And no, they don't sugarcoat anything at all. In fact, in Nepal, we spent a couple of days in Bangladesh. I celebrated Mass at the seminary where they have about 64 students to serve the church in Bangladesh for a Catholic population that's less than 1%.
Well, that's what I was just thinking.
It's amazing. And then – but in Nepal, where it's primarily Hindu in Nepal, and it's also a very small Catholic population. But we went right up into a city of Gorkha, which is a mountainous area. We went right up in these rugged CRS vehicles into the mountains where we could see some of the worst of the earthquake damage.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's also monsoon season. So we didn't have any drenching rains while we were there, but we were going along these winding, you know, these mountain roads that go around and around and around, and huge, sometimes almost foot-deep ruts from the vehicles because of the monsoons. And I never was so jostled around in my life. And sometimes, of course, it's hard to describe it graphically, but you're going up the mountain to get to your destination spot where you're going to meet with some of the people who are victims of the earthquake and see the work we're doing. And if you glance to your right or left, you look down about a foot from where the road stops. You look down maybe 200-400 feet into, you know, oblivion. It's quite a harrowing thing. But the CRS drivers around the world are great drivers. They just know how to do this. But it was a very exciting ride. You'd have to pay money for it in an amusement park.
You would.
Trust me.
No doubt.
But it's no amusement park, though, when you get to where you're going and you see how these these little, you know, mud huts the people had lived in, usually made out of rows of stones and then mud, stones and mud. Well, it's not very secure when the – between the earthquake and then the drenching rains of the monsoon, what's going to happen to that mud? And so one of the projects we had was to bring in engineers, CRS sponsored, and help the locals learn, if they wanted to do that, how to build. Our mantra when there's a shelter issue, when people's homes have been wiped out, is build back better. In other words, we don't want them to build the same thing that collapsed. So they'll still use their own, natural stuff, the stones and the mud. But for example, we teach them how to secure that by putting some kind of a bamboo band around it so that the house will hold better. It's hard to describe it unless obviously we don't have pictures of it. But just an example of the tremendous work we do, CRS, thanks to the generosity of American Catholics. All I say thank you right now to anybody listening to this broadcast who's generous each year to the CRS collection.
Well, and we might not have pictures on this radio broadcast, but you can go to crs.org and they have full usually entire sections on the various work that they're doing there so that you can see it. So, I certainly encourage people there, and not a bad place to donate either. We'll put in a shameless plug there for CRS.
No, that's for sure.
Well. Because that work is important.
Well, in some ways, although the work is different, in some ways Catholic Relief Services is the global version of what Catholic Charities does locally, reaching out to help people.
Yeah, same thing. Bishop Richard Malone is our guest, and we're going to take a short break. But you mentioned earlier, and I know that the devastation is still great in Nepal from the earthquake. You saw it firsthand. You mentioned earlier, Haiti. That's one of the places that CRS has put a lot of effort in there, and things still need a lot of work there too, right? Just because it's not in the news anymore doesn't mean that these places that have had these massive natural disasters are anywhere close to being rebuilt.
No, you're exactly right, Greg. The rebuilding work in Haiti is going to go on for years to come.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Bishop Richard Malone is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming papal visit in just a couple short weeks, few short days from now. We'll be right back.
Make your voice heard. Join the Catholic Action Network and speak out in support of the poor and vulnerable, the sick and elderly, the unborn, families and children. Sign up online at nyscatholic.org and click on Join the Network. That's nyscatholic.org. And visit the New York State Catholic Conference's Legislative Action Center. Read alerts on important legislative issues and email your state representative. Stay informed and strengthen the Catholic voice in New York. You'll find it all at nyscatholic.org. That's nyscatholic.org.
Thanks for joining us on Western New York Catholic Weekly. I'm Greg Prince. Joining us is our bishop, Bishop Richard Malone. And we talked a little bit about his recent trip to Nepal and Bangladesh with Catholic Relief Services. Again, let me remind you, crs.org is their website. You can see all about the good work that they're doing there. Of course, the next big thing on the agenda, and you are very involved with this in just about every location that the Holy Father is going to be, the upcoming papal visit, which of course surrounds the World Meeting of Families that's going on in Philadelphia, which is another terrific event, probably close to your heart since you also sit on the family committee for the United States Conference of Bishops. By the way, usccb.org, all the information about the good work that goes on there. So tell us a little bit about what you expect in just a few short days.
Well, it'll be wonderful, but with Pope Francis, you're never exactly sure what to expect.
No, that's true.
Wonderful surprises for us. Yeah. But no, it's a wonderful thing. And I'm glad you mentioned the World Meeting of Families, because that Philadelphia event is actually the reason the Pope is coming.
Yeah.
And because he is coming to this country for the first time, of course, the President Obama wants to welcome him at the White House. He's been invited, as everyone knows, to speak to both houses of the Congress, which is the first time ever a pope has been asked to do that. That's exciting.
It is.
We don't have any idea what his topics will be. The USCCB officials, higher than me, I know, have sent some suggested themes to the Holy Father, so he'll know our situation in this country,
right.
Some of the challenges we – he has his own special themes, which are so important, concern for the poor, concern for the environment. We also want to bring to his attention that we're having a struggle in this country with religious freedom right now and a bunch of other stuff. But it'll be a surprise. And then – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and the timing for that in some ways couldn't be better in terms of addressing the houses of Congress, because he's going to basically come right from Cuba – to meet with officials in Washington, D.C. at a time when our relationship with Cuba is changing dramatically.
And he's had a lot, as you know, Greg, to
Absolutely.
Do with that. It's a remarkable kind of thing. And it's interesting. Who knows what will happen to his prepared speeches and homilies he's going to give in this country, which I'm sure will be prepared, of course, before he comes to the
sure.
States. Who knows what will happen to those after a few days in Cuba?
Yeah.
Those talks might – who knows? Might get shifted too.
Yeah.
I know that's happened in my small little world sometimes. I've had talks prepared for something. All of a sudden something goes on in the world or – you know, and it changes your talk. Anyway, so then of course the other things, he's going to address the United Nations. Word is – and I don't know this from any divine source at all – word is he's probably going to talk about the environment to the United Nations.
Yeah, I would get – I mean that seems to be on his mind,
yeah,
right?
So, very much so because of the wonderful – challenging encyclical Laudato Si, where he says all of us have face a moral imperative to take better care of our earth, which he calls our common home. So environment's very important. And then among other things, you know, he'll do the things he loves to do. He'll visit a prison. He's going to visit a Catholic Charities agency project in – I think that's in Washington or maybe it's in New York. But he'll meet with all the U.S. bishops Wednesday of that week at St. Matthew's Cathedral in Washington, D.C. He'll have midday prayer and address us. And I may be missing the timeline here. Eventually, he's going to New York.
Well, I'm guessing that's going to change as things go on, too,
yeah.
A little bit here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? So.
The Holy – just one other thing. Cardinal Dolan told us that the Holy See really wants to downplay the New York part of the visit because they don't want to take the emphasis off the end of the week in Philadelphia. That's why he's coming. To affirm the families of the world.
Well, and that event is a lead-up, right, to a synod on families
exactly
that's going
right.
to be taking place at the Vatican. So
the yeah. World Meeting of Families is kind of in a sandwich between the first synod on the family last year and the new one this
right.
October.
Right.
So it's a very – but anyway, the Vatican agreed that when the Pope comes on Thursday and Friday to New York City and we have evening prayer and then the next night we have Mass at Madison Square Garden – the only bishops besides the, you know, some who travel with the Pope and the heads of the head of the conference who will be with the Pope are the New York State bishops. So we really lucked out on that one. So I'll have a lot of opportunities to be with the Holy Father.
Now there's another interesting event happening in Washington where he's going to meet with seminarians and our seminary certainly is a part of that, right?
Absolutely. After he meets with the U.S. bishops at midday prayer – a little later that day, we will have the canonization of Blessed Junipero Serra, who really brought the Christian faith to the West, to California. And the seminarians will be in the Basilica, the National Shrine in Washington. The Pope's going to spend a little time with them. All seminarians and women and men in religious formation in the country have been invited. So it's going to be quite an event as well.
Wow. That's a – it seems like – in some ways, there's almost kind of an unprecedented access to the Pope for certain groups this time around.
It's remarkable. It's absolutely – but that's how he loves to do it. Someone told me who is very involved in the planning that the Secret Service, who are responsible in a big way for his safety, any head of state – people forget sometimes that the Pope, besides being head of the Catholic Church – and Vicar of Christ is a head of state because the Vatican is a very small state with a national identity to it, you know. And so the Pope is treated as a visiting, you know, government head. And so Secret Service will work with the Vatican authorities and local authorities. But the Pope, for example, I was told again – It may not be true, but he has said along the various routes of the motorcade, he doesn't want any fences, I'm told, that look like you're in a prison. The people are in a prison.
Yeah.
That sounds like Pope Francis.
Yeah, it does.
He's going to go to the prison, But he doesn't want the motorcade where the public come out to see him to separate him from them by any kind of
sure, like fences. Large fencing.
But that makes the Secret Service, I am told, very insecure.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big job that they have. Now, what about your role? Any specific things that you personally are doing or involved in that might be a little bit out of the ordinary?
An opportunity I will have that not all the bishops will have is when we're gathered for prayer on Wednesday at St. Matthew's Cathedral in D.C. There won't be time for all of the U.S. bishops to go up and greet the Pope. So it is the members of the USCCB Administrative Committee, that's about maybe 30 bishops or 35, who will be the ones presented directly to meet the Holy Father. So fortunately, I am currently a member of the Administrative Committee of our Bishops' Conference, so it'll be my second opportunity to shake the Pope's hand and wish him a word.
Now, is he doing anything similarly with just because we talked about the seminarians, et cetera? Is there going to be any similar type opportunity?
I don't know, Greg. Yeah. I haven't seen any of the detail about that at all.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be a fairly short time with the seminarians. But maybe there'll also be a small delegation of seminarians and women in formation they'll present to the Pope.
Okay.
That'd be kind of a standard scenario, but I don't know the schedule.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I mean, that seems to be his sort of pattern, the things that he likes to do. And again, you know, a lot of this information is in flux.
And the other day, I should add in, while he's in New York, I just read something Cardinal Dolan said. Cardinal Dolan said there may be I'm not quoting, but this is the effect, there may be one or two surprises too in the Pope's visit to New York.
Oh, there's always surprises with Pope Francis, it seems.
You didn't hear this from me. I'm not speaking ex cathedra. Someone said to me yesterday, is it true the Pope is going to a Yankees game when he's in – and I said I had never heard that. So please, everybody out there, do not spread the word Malone said he's going to the Yankees game because I didn't say it. Someone told me they had heard that.
But one never knows.
If
all the information about her, or at least a good majority of the reliable information about the visit, not speculation, usccb.org is the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops website, and they'll have information about that on there as well. As we kind of wrap up here, what's the expectation maybe? And I know you can't speak for maybe the church as a whole in the United States or whatever, but maybe for yourself, what impact do you think this visit is going to have on the United States?
That's a great question. And I believe that the presence of the Holy Father is going to strengthen our faith and our hope, not only Catholics but everybody who tunes in to him. And he has a huge audience besides Catholics, as you know. And secondly, I think we better fasten our seatbelts because he's going to sock it to us. He will. He'll sock it to us about the poor, about the environment, and probably many other things. He may hit the Congress on some things. I don't know. But he'll do it in a way that will reflect tremendous integrity because, when Pope Francis speaks, you get the real thing.
That you do. Our guest has been Bishop Richard Malone, Bishop of the Diocese of Buffalo. Oh, anything that you personally are really looking forward to with regard to this visit? Is there been one thing that you said, I can't wait for that?
Actually, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It has so many beautiful moving parts to it.
I think people forget that. This is exciting for you.
Oh, yeah.
As it is for us, as
absolutely.
Somebody who's going to attend in
it sounds like a strange thing to say about the Pope, who's the supreme pontiff of the whole church. He is our universal pastor, but for me, he's also a brother bishop. Yeah. He is my brother bishop, Bishop of Rome and Pope. So it's you feel a bond, and he likes to present himself that way. He often presents himself as the Bishop of Rome, which, of course, is the Pope always is. So I look forward again to meeting him. Last time I met him, that one time when I was at a meeting in Rome, it's a short meeting. But, for example, when you shake his hand, he takes your hand in both of his hands. It's just all very warm and the look in his eyes. So I look forward.
Bishop Richard Malone, Bishop of the Diocese of Buffalo, our guest on Western New York Catholic Weekly this week. We wish you well on your trip.
And I'm going to be Skyping – from
that's true.
The Papal Visit.
We're going to have some.
This afternoon I'm having a Skyping lesson.
We're going to learn that. We're going to, you know, probably some
or
video
some other
blogging.
Technology
we'll figure
it
yet. Yeah, that,
whatever it is. Maybe
so
it's
people
not
will be
Skype.
Able to find that through all our various social media and at buffalodiocese.org. So keep an eye out for that. Bishop, thanks for spending some time with us this
You're
week.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Greg.
And again, all the information, usccb.org. We want to remind you also, we talked about the bishops involved with Catholic Relief Services. CRS.org is their website. You can find our podcasts and information about anything we talk about on the program at our website, buffalodiocese.org. Just go to the news tab and drop down to radio. I'm Greg Prince. I'll be back with you next week.
You've been listening to Western New York Catholic Weekly, produced by the Office of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo, with the help of the Catholic Communication Campaign and this radio station. Call us at 847-8744 or send us an email to radio@buffalodiocese.org.